U.S. Congressman and Montgomery native Artur Davis is one of many black elected officials who benefited from the civil rights movement. He wasn't born at the time Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, but today he continues the struggle that she helped begin. We sat down with the Alabama congressman recently to talk about the next generation of civil rights advocates. He told me the boycott is a reminder of the power of the individual.
Rosa Parks did something that was enormously audacious, and she inspired a community to follow her path. And that's what we're honoring this week, two things. We're honoring Rosa Parks having the audacity to stand up to power, and we're honoring this community for engaging in a year-long collective effort to change the city. My grandmother used to tell me it wasn't easy sustaining a boycott for a year. When it got really cold, it got really hot, you know, people weren't necessarily eager to not have the comfort of the buses. But the community still had a confidence and a courage, and I think it should inspire us today.
Those of us who know the history understand that the leadership did not walk in lockstep, that there were many fights, a lot of infighting in terms of which direction to go, who should lead, etc. You're on the Hill. Talk to me about the environment today, not only politically, but socially, when those of you who are now set to take the mantle, are you seeing the kind of conversation you think you should?
There is a different kind of urgency today, if you understand it. The urgency today is that there are forces in this country who have been slowly gathering power, who have moved from a tax system that was fair and progressive to one that doesn't tax wealth and taxes work. We've had a system that's gathering power that doesn't believe in equitable health care. We have a system that's gathering power that doesn't believe that everyone's entitled to civil justice in the American courtroom. Those are very real threats. They're not threats of actual physical violence in the way that our grandparents faced, but they're very real threats that could erode where African Americans sit. I think that this so-called new generation of African American politicians understands that. So we can't be any less urgent than our predecessors were.
During the civil rights movement, it was easy to target the boogeyman. It came personified by Bull Connor. It was in Jim Crow law. While we still deal with a lot of that, there are issues that come now from within our community. You look at the homicide rate. And while we understand all of the issues on the peripheral that cause that, it's time for us to turn that mirror around and look at ourselves. How can leadership do that without being concerned about being called Tom or being concerned about the community suggesting that you don't get it?
Well, the first thing you have to do is, frankly, to talk about the positive in the community and to shine a light on the enormous acts of success going on in the African-American community today. What about the 15-year-old boy who stumbled, got arrested, and turned around and became an honor student? What about all the examples, and you saw some of them this week, of the wonderful young people who march in this city? There are so many positive things happening in our community. And I think if you want to talk about the negative, which is certainly there in our community and every other community, let's begin the conversation by talking about the positive. Get people to buy into the idea of affirmation in the black community, and then you can talk about transformation.
Finally, talk to me about the present day Montgomery. I spoke the other day with the mayor about the current feeling and feel of Montgomery, racial climate, etc. Talk to me about what you see in Montgomery, and do you see it as a microcosm of America, positive and negatives?
I grew up here and lived here until I was 30 years of age, and I have vivid memories of living in this city. I remember being 10 years of age in 1977, and there was a series of rapes in one of the affluent white communities in Montgomery, and the only thing people knew about the suspect was it was a quote-unquote young black male. The mayor of this city decided that the way to deal with that was to impose a curfew, and black males under 18 had to be off the street at dark. I remember being 10 years old and being told I couldn't go in a bookstore by myself because I'd be violating the curfew. Montgomery has changed progressively, slowly but progressively, and it is a microcosm. It's a microcosm because Montgomery has tested the proposition that laws, frankly, matter less than the commitment of individuals. I often say, we didn't get the Equal Protection Clause in 1965, we got it in 1866. Mm-hmm. We didn't get the right to vote in 1965, got it in 1867. But those rights languished because they weren't enforced. Montgomery has always said, if we're committed enough as individuals, maybe we can make laws mean what they say they do. That's all Rosa Parks was doing. Those are the kinds of challenges that we face, but I'm optimistic because I've seen this city come a long way from being a 10-year-old boy who couldn't get out of a car at night to seeing the crowds of people, white and black, who are gathered here to pay tribute to this city. And they understand that if you really get the civil rights movement, it's about white people and black people succeeding and being liberated to think of each other irrespective of race.
Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. Always good to talk to you, and we're
likewise
glad to do so at your, within your hometown.
Look forward to doing it again. Good luck to you, and thank you for being here.
Thanks.